Good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church family. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. And I'm doing the podcast version because of the lockdown that we are under for the coronavirus. So I just want to let you know that for the foreseeable future, we will be doing, I will be doing the podcast for Wednesday nights and making that available to you on Wednesdays. Throughout the entire study of Matthew, I just believe it's a better format. We're still going to be having, obviously, service when we're allowed to, but when we have service, there's questions, a lot of interaction with the crowd that the mic doesn't pick up, and so I just thought it was best to be able to put this in a podcast format and put it on our website for you to be able to listen to it at your leisure. But I pray for the time that we can get together in fellowship and worship in our church. This separation is not good for anybody. So tonight, as we continue in our study of Matthew, I want to talk about our love that we have for our enemies. And we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we are at this particular place in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. That'll be our text for this evening. But I want to talk about a paradigm shift. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, what's a paradigm shift? I don't understand. The word paradigm is another word for model or pattern or example or a standard or a prototype. Excuse me. What Jesus was doing when he was talking about this love for our enemies was it's a new model for our relationships. It's a new pattern for how we view our enemies. It's a new example for us to follow. It's a new standard for our love, and it a new commandment, Jesus says, I give to you, that we are to love one another, and that's all of the others in your life. The reciprocal relationships that we are in, those that, you know, love us back, and the strained relationships that we have where there is not love shown back and forth. Our text tonight is Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, and I'll begin reading that now. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Lord, we just pray that you add blessing to your word tonight as we study. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would allow us to see the type of love that you are requiring us to have, Lord, not just for the people that we surround ourselves with, but people that need this type of love that we have. I pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So, continuing, we want to go a little bit deeper here. The model that Jesus was talking about was really the old model. And it's not that the old model was broken in any way, shape, or form. It was misinterpreted. When Jesus said that we are to love our enemies, he was establishing a new direction, I think, but for our relationships with one another. The Sermon on the Mount teaches that we should love our neighbor because this was the law of God, according to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. The idea that we were to hate our enemy was assumed incorrectly by the Jews and even the Pharisees. The Bible never, ever explicitly says that we are to hate our enemy. The Pharisees misinterpreted the Old Testament passage about God and about hatred of God's enemies, but that's a misrepresentation. We are to love everybody. This is an Old Testament concept, and it's a New Testament concept. But what the Sermon on the Mount does is it takes the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and it fills in all the details. So the law is the outline, the major points, and the Sermon on the Mount is all the indents. I've taught that to you over and over again so that you would understand that Jesus came to be a fulfillment of that law. And he is fulfilling that law by the lesson that he's giving in the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus corrects this idea with an even higher standard. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that may you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So not only are we to love, that we're to be praying as well. And the reason we do this is to display the love that we have, that we belong to the Father, that we are part of the family, that I am a son. And, you know, it's an overwhelming thing when you're a father to consider, are your children a better version of you? Or do they have all of your good qualities and bad qualities? And when you see the bad qualities in your children, you know that those were passed down. Well, God doesn't have any bad qualities. He only has good qualities. And those good qualities were passed down from the Father to us. And they should be seen in us, those good qualities. So this idea that we have this high standard of loving those, but more importantly, praying for those. We need to be praying for the strained relationships. And we ought not to have enemies. A man that has enemies is problematic with respect to Scripture. I mean, we may have people that don't like us, but that's not what our heart should be toward them. So Jesus goes on to explain that loving those who love us is really easy to do. If you love the people that you find yourself quarantined with right now, that's easy to do. You may not love them at the end of this quarantine like you did at the beginning, but that's easy to do. It's a reciprocal love. I love my wife. She loves me. I love my children because they love me. What's hard is developing that love for people that I know that don't love me. In fact, they probably dislike me. And what am I supposed to do there? Well, the whole idea here, he sums it up in the last verse. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if your mind wasn't blown away by loving and praying for your enemies, then Jesus just adds one more to the pile by saying, look, you got to be perfect. Your heavenly Father is perfect. I expect you to be perfect. That's basically what this is saying. So the new standard that we see here is Jesus explains to his followers that you know, they should focus on the real meaning of God's law by loving enemies as well as their neighbors. And a Pharisee came to Jesus one time and he said, all right, that's great, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And here Jesus taught that his disciples must extend love to all kinds of people, no matter what they were, no matter what their faith was, no matter what their nationality was, no matter their personality, the enemies included everybody, no excuses. The problem that we have in this day and age is before the coronavirus even came, our country was heavily divided. This political season has caused tremendous damage, not only in the church, but in our nation. We are completely divided in terms of Republican and Democrat. And there just seems to be that these camps are getting more more staunch in what they believe, and they're going to the extreme, and there's very little left in the middle. But I'm supposed to love people that have a different faith than me. I'm supposed to love people who have a different political view than I do, even though their political view, I may look at that political view and think your political view is giving you what you believe the right to kill the unborn. I just can't fathom that. That whole entire, for lack of a better word, industry of killing the unborn, it's appalling to me. And yet, I am to love everybody. I'm to love people that I disagree with. I'm to love people that you know, in terms of ideology, we're two different spectrums here. In different faiths and different personalities. You know, I have a very distinct personality. I think my church knows that. But I need to love people who have the absolute opposite personality of me. Some of those people I live with. I mean, they're just different. We're all different. And God's design in this is that we're to love everybody the same. And if you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, then you're going to reflect the love of Jesus. That's what he did. He was on that cross dying for us. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And just a week prior to that, they were praising him coming down Palm Sunday Road. And now these people, the ones that he healed, the ones that he ministered to, the ones that he loved, the ones that he fed, were screaming out for him to be crucified. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They will know we are Christians by our love. That is more than just a song. We need to be making sure that that love is not only seen in us, but it's felt by the people that we find ourselves surrounded by, whether they're there by our decision, our choice, or whether we end up with these people in our life, no matter what. Our job is to love them. The very nature of God in terms of love is in us, and that's there to be shared with everybody else. So the third point here is that Jesus makes his point, and Jesus utilizes this illustration of the sun rising and setting on the good and the bad, and the rain coming and falling upon the good and the evil. And again, this shows God's unconditional love for all of his people. As his people, we got to reflect his character and exhibit the same undiscriminating love for both friends and enemies and, you know, people that we don't understand, people that we are confused by. The lesson here is that we must love by a higher standard. Again, a paradigm shift that you know, the world has this love that is not our love. It is not the way that we love one another. It's not what we've been given from the Father. It's only through the power of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which we are studying on Sunday mornings, it's only through that power that we can truly love and pray for those who intend to do us harm, right? Whether it's verbal harm, which is the new weapon these days, or you know, things that they write about us or say about us, or the way that they make fun of us, we are to love them. Our response should always be love. You know, one of the things we learned from the Life of David study was that we are not to be those that learn and become skilled at the art of throwing spears, right? We need to be those who dodge spears. We never pick up a spear that was thrown at us and throw it back. That's not our nature. It's not who we should be. It's what made David a great king. He refused to go after Saul. He let God deal with Saul. And really, when we rise up and we want to handle our enemies, that's a big problem, because God says, vengeance is mine, it's not yours. I've not created you to go around and be me in terms of vengeance. I have created you to go around and be me in terms of love that I've given you, but not vengeance. So number four is this intercessory prayer for our enemies. And when we read that, you know, we think, okay, Lord, what were you thinking? Like, I'm going to pray for my enemies, the people that are causing me harm, the people that are causing all of my prayer requests. You now want me to turn and pray for them? Well, let me just encourage you this evening. The prayer, number one, it changes our heart. It changes our heart from our heart to God's heart. And it allows us to see the things that we could not see in the flesh. But when we enter into prayer, we enter into this time of the Spirit. We are spiritual beings. And when we pray and walk in the Spirit, when we pray for those people that are persecuting us, there's a few things that happens, and it allows us to see behaviors in ourselves that maybe we might see in our enemies. And God may say, yes, you hate that person for this, but what about you? Look what you've done. And you see that intercessory prayer that we have for our enemies, it establishes the heart of God in us. And if you have an enemy or a potential enemy, or maybe you're living with an enemy, the greatest thing that you can do is to start to pray for them and allow God to develop that heart in you. Allow God to develop that kindness, that gentleness, that meekness, all the fruits of the Spirit that we're talking about on Sundays. Allow him to establish that in your heart for those people in your life who may not understand that. You are the conduit for God's love, the conduit to those who you love and to those whom you're learning to love. And if you're learning to love somebody, then you should be praying for them. He closes this particular passage with this idea of the imperfect becoming perfect. Finally, after giving this instruction, you know, to love our enemies and to be praying for them, which is in and of itself enough, he says, look, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is utterly impossible for sinful man to achieve. We can't do that. You can't be perfect. You can't love. You can't do any of that unless you're doing this under God's power and under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's unattainable. It's an unattainable standard to do what the law requires unless we understand that we're doing it by the Spirit. So how can Jesus demand the impossible? Well, he later tells us in Matthew chapter 19 that with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. In other words, if you continue down trying to love people in your own strength, you will fail. You will fail. But if you love people and you love them with the heart of God, everything is possible when you are with God. That which God demands, only he can accomplish, including the demand to love our enemies. That's if God is going to call you to it, he's going to give you the ability to do it. And the reality is some of us are more comfortable having enemies. Some of us are more comfortable being in turmoil, being in conflict, and that's not God's peace. He says, my peace I give to thee, not as the world give unto thee. God gives us this peace that surpasses our ability to understand. And I think that it's impossible for man to love unless they give their life to Jesus Christ. Then they truly understand what love is. Love is this decision that we make to love one another unconditionally. Excuse me. So this evening, let's bring some application into this. Let's kind of stick this to your soul. So Israel, they needed to be corrected regarding this commandment, and that's why we see Jesus bringing this subject up. And we are quick to forget the command sometimes ourselves, and we are quick to judge one another. And in other words, maybe in this idea of Israel needing to be reminded, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees needed to be reminded that we are to love our enemies, maybe this commandment, maybe this warning is for us. Maybe this reminder is for us. As we need to take a good look at our life tonight. Are we walking around with enemies? And are they enemies because we've allowed the sun to go down in our anger? Because we have violated scripture? Because we have harbored bitterness in our heart? We've harbored murder in our heart? We have no problem talking about these people in a negative way, thinking that'll never come back on us? And absolutely it will. We need to be reminded tonight that we are to love our enemies. Number two, this is a love that we must have for everybody, every person that we come in contact with, not just the people we choose, not just the people that deserve our love, not those that where it's reciprocal, but that love should be practiced where there is no love coming from the other side. We are in this quarantine where we're separated from people. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of people who don't have any problem with this. They're fine. They don't want to be around people in the first place. And that's not God's love. God's love wants us to be around people, wants us to love people, wants us to understand that we need to have a love for everybody. And a good day is finding somebody that you didn't love and learning to love them. And when you begin to pray for them, you understand that whole process is leads me to my third point, which is this love is a perfecting love, and it's a perfecting love because we're praying for our enemies, and God is making us perfect. We are all in this process of being made perfect. It's you don't become perfect with God, you know, putting his hand on you. You are declared righteous, and you become perfect daily. It's a process of regeneration. It's a process of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We never graduate. We never attain. This process that we're under, we're working it out with God, becoming more like him every day and less like us. That is being perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Tonight you have a decision to make. Tonight you have been invited to this place where you stand before God, even as you're hearing my voice. And you have an enemy in your life. You may have multiple enemies in your life. You may have family that's an enemy. And God is saying to you, I want you to love them. And the first thing that you want to probably do is go out and try and fix that in your own way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but at the end, it's destruction, the Bible says. So here's what I would suggest that you do. Here's what the scripture says that you should do. Why don't you begin to pray for that person? Why don't you begin to develop a heart for that person? Why don't you begin to intercede for that person? And so that you can see them the way God sees them. And pray about the relationship being restored. Pray about, you know, this heart of, God, I don't want to have any enemies. I want to love everybody the way that you loved people. That doesn't mean that we're going to be in agreement. That doesn't mean that we're going to not have different ideological views and things. That has nothing to do with it. But it's loving them with the love that you gave to us. If that's you tonight, and you're like, Greg, I struggle. I don't want this relationship that I have. I don't want this enemy that I have. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. That's where you belong. Let God speak to you. Let God heal this. Let God bring his love into this situation and change it the way that he wants to change it. You do not have the power. The only thing you have the power to do is you stand there in your armor is pray. Let me pray for you tonight. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you would bless those that have listened to this sermon tonight, Lord, and that have to make the decision about what to do with the enemy in their life. Father, I pray that you give us a love, Lord, to be praying for our enemies and to one by one, Lord, be converting those relationships to your will. Father, I pray tonight for those making that decision. I pray for those that maybe clicked on this link online or however they got here, and they don't even know you. And tonight they want to make Jesus their Lord and Savior so that they can have this love, the love that they've never even experienced before. Father, you said if they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on a cross for their sin, and because of that, they have been reconciled to you. If they truly believe that, then they're saved. And if they're saved, they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, which will give them the ability to love people. Father, I pray that you would radically save them tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. If that's you and you've made this commitment tonight to follow Jesus, if you look on the website, there is a phone number there that you can call, and we will pray with you and help you in your faith. Until we meet again next Wednesday, God bless you guys.